So once more, again, welcome to this wonderful day of August the 18th. It's a very special day for us and a very special day that is commemorated in honor of the Blessed Mother, who is supposed to have, or is reported to have, been ascended into heaven on this day through what is called the Assumption. And the Assumption is being literally an example of what we've been talking about, gradually building the context for the last two Sundays. And that is the transfiguration of the material into an enduring physical. According to reports and apocryphal stories, she did not die. She was simply lifted to heaven, full body, in physical form. Now, what that means is something we can only speculate about, and that is, in fact, a great part of what I'm passing on to you, the things I do know and the things I still wonder about on this subject of the divine physical. I think it's a very, very important subject for our day and our time and for what people are wondering about. We see a world that's being cluttered with trash. We see materialism going rampant like cancer. We see people in chaos for lack of material support or even food. And we wonder, well, where can this sustenance come from? And how can it be more abundant in a universe that is essentially based on conservation? In order to have something, you have to put something in. And yet, Yeshua created miraculous events that showed us the abundance of the physical, the way he multiplied the fishes, for example, for one of many examples, the way he raised the dead. And so we want to take a closer look at this. We had two callers from last week that I was not able to take their call. I think one was Mary, and I think the other was an anonymous caller. So it's entirely up to you if you want to continue the subject and the discussion you had from last week, but I do open the board for you, and then I want to continue partly as a review of last week, because there has been no call so far that has generated more, I would say one-third applause, one-third I want to know more, and one-third I didn't get it. So I realized that, yes, everyone is recognizing that we are on a very profound trail. And perhaps I can make it easier for all of us to grasp and understand with a little summary and maybe a few steps forward. So, Mary, you're on. Hi.
Hey, Glenda. Hi. Yes, I did have some thoughts about what you're speaking about, and it actually has to do with four separate things, but I'm just so grateful that I had this realization, and I'll try to be brief. But the other day, I had the experience where I was with a group of people, and I realized that there was a certain person who I had suddenly started to be in judgment of. And I recognized it physically. Like in my solar plexus, it's like my body was saying to me, you know, that's really not in alignment with who you want to be, so maybe you should rethink that thought. And I thought, and I actually had the sensation of something leaving my body, like that I really had just cast out this energetic ray of judgment, which I really didn't want to do. And so I appreciated how my body gave me that moment of grace of realizing, oh, you know, this isn't who I want to be. And so then This all happened in a moment, but then I sort of saw this, it's almost like a neural pathway where the next thing I thought that I wanted to do was I said to myself, oh my gosh, I just stood in judgment of somebody. I feel really bad now. You know that little voice in your head that says, oh, you know, that's not good, and you're not a good person, and you shouldn't have done that. And so I almost grabbed onto that current, but then I thought, oh my gosh, if I now stand in judgment of myself, it's the same frequency. And whenever I stand in judgment, I block my view, and I didn't want to do that either. And so then I had the grace of changing my mind again through my body, like running things through my body and deciding to choose to be at peace and to realize, oh, I don't want to be judgmental of myself or others. And then I remembered when Jesus was with his friends, and I think they were walking up a hill, and a woman touched his garment, and he was so in alignment with his energy, married, you know, united, his physical and spiritual energy, all in agreement. He was so aware that he felt the energy that left his body, which was of love and healing, and I think he also even felt that energy merge with the woman who had faith enough to believe that his energy would heal her. And so the whole experience just gave me such gratitude for the times when my physical body really, like, I see it as an agreement between my soul and my consciousness and all of the energy that's me being one harmony. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, Mary, and that's exactly what we're going to create through this understanding, and what is essential for receiving all the blessings that we are offering, and also to help everyone understand why these blessings are coming energetically. Actually, there's a great deal of wisdom in the energy of this universe, because the energy itself is the body of God. Now, there isn't that kind of wisdom in the materialism of this universe. It's like the difference between a house and a home. A home is the energy of the people who live there. And through the home, living in the home, sharing life with one another, there's a great deal to be gained physically, emotionally, mentally, socially, and through all of the various exchanges and presentations of love. The house itself doesn't contain any of that wisdom. And this is what I want to help us see, because in a very, pardon me, in a very, very, very materialistic world, we are becoming more and more confused between the physical and the material. And so when I talk about the divine physical, I'm not talking about cars, diamond rings, houses, things we own, businesses, governments, grocery stores, whatever. I'm not talking about the material. We need to look beyond the material to discover the physical, because the physical actually is its own little trinity within us and within all things, with God, the spirit, and the physical. And whichever part of that holy trinity we touch, we are in touch with God. As a matter of fact, this is where Yeshua fits into the divine and holy trinity. He is the physical manifestation of God. Now, not the material, the physical. And I think that by the time I'm through with this discourse on this subject, which may take a few weeks, Don't expect yourself to understand it all at once, although it may come in a flash. Be open to it coming all together when it's ready. And then, on the other hand, be patient with yourself, because you probably have many, many years of conditioning about the material being what we're referring to as the physical. So now I'm going to go back and review and put some basics in that I didn't put in before. So here we go. Now, let's just refer back to the chapter in Love Without End on the adamantine particles. And this is where Yeshua talks about there being a fundamental original particle from which all physical form is derived. As a matter of fact, one of the characteristics of this original particle is it's the only particle that actually generates its own energy. So not only does it eventually congeal into matter, it generates the entire energy field of existence. So what we have in that particle is energy, and we have a great potential for the conglomeration of these particles into larger and larger particles. Now, this is basic physicality. This is the basic physical, and it's actually the root meaning of the word physics, that studies the prime essentials of physical form. Physics does not study the outer shape and layers of this mountain in front of me. That would be geology. Physics would study the basic physical makeup on a particle level of that mountain in front of me. So when I'm talking about physical, I'm talking about the fundamental essence of existence from which all things are made. But now we do know that on a gradient scale, a gradual scale of accumulation, these baby particles, these fundamental basic particles, do form positive and negative charge, electromagnetic energy, and they bond. And then they bond with multiple particles until they cohere into molecular forms, or complex atomic forms at the very least, and then into molecular forms. And then from simple molecular forms into the more complex, gross molecular forms. And at that point, what we have is what would be normally called matter. In other words, we go from the pure physical into matter. Matter is the root word of material. So when I'm speaking of physical versus material, I'm really talking about the difference between basic, fundamental, energetic, and particle supply of the universe, life energy, creative energy, and all the substance of existence. When we talk about the material, we're talking about how it's come together to form the various entities and conglomerations of entities that give us more functionality in life. And it would be a hard call to say where something ceases being primarily physical and then goes into being primarily material. But I will describe for you some of the characteristics of the material. Now, the material is all subject to the law of entropy, meaning it will fall apart. It will return dust to dust. It will be dissolved back into the grand field of energy at some point, and usually after it's served its function and no one and no thing is willing to resupply it with more physical power. For any form or matter to survive, it has to be continually supplied with physical energy. So there's a progression that exists, just like a really wonderful home between among people, a great extended family even, could exist for generations on nothing but love. But we all know this whole house has to be fixed. Occasionally, will come in a new roof out. The electrician has to be called in, and so forth. Now, let me give you just a lead for my show in Texas. And I had gotten to where I was on the grass, and also there's a pebble walkway. And I put down all of my brand new brushes, and I went over into a jar full of brushes that are ages old, some of them going back 20 years. Some of them I might have even used to paint The Lamb and the Lion. But I keep these old brushes, even though they're all sprung and the bristles go out in all directions, because they're all spread out, and if I use them just right, just right, they make wonderful brushes for painting grass, because I can get the leaves of grass all separated, or maybe another one, if it's clumpy but sprung out in just the right way, I can dabble it into my paint and dabble it onto the canvas, and with a range of values and colors, I can get the most interesting pebble effect. So what I'm actually doing is I am taking what used to be a brush with an exactly defined material function. When I bought it at the art store, it was, most of my brushes are what's called filberts, which means they're not round, they're not flat, they're just kind of brought to a point. And that way I can use them both as a pointed brush and a flat-sided brush. Most of them are like that, and they're beautiful, and they're perfect, and they do everything just like driving a Mercedes, as long as they're young and new. And then I have a choice. I could throw them away because they've served that function. No longer good for that. Or I look at them and I realize that in the years of using them, they've developed a unique character of their own. In other words, the energy that went through them, the physicality of being used, my hand to the paintings that were painted, they've now become a new instrument. And I play around with them, and then, okay, I play around with them, and after I play around with them just a little bit, I decide on whether this is now a brand new instrument. Now, that was not obtained through going to the art store and getting a perfectly new brush. It's a direct byproduct of having poured months, if not years, of energy through that brush and allowing its character to be uniquely shaped for a new purpose. Now, I would say that is the power of the physical transforming the limitations of the material. Now, another example, I just had in my own refrigerator a couple of days ago, and that was I use almond milk for my cereal. I'm kind of off of dairy for the most part. Unless it's my favorite cheese, but except for that, I'm pretty much off dairy. And it was empty, so it was ready to be discarded. And I poured the last little bit out. And after I poured the last little bit out, I had a little energetic drop, like I was part of the energy of that carton of almond milk until it was gone. And then I felt there was no more energy there. There was something about it and me, the energy of me, the energy of it. We work together to pour that energy out. At that point, well, I thought, okay, I guess I'll just put this in the garbage can. And then I held myself off for a minute. I thought, no, it's going to take up too much room. So I stomped on it and crushed it. I let my foot be my trash compactor. And then I thought about the next sequence in the life of that almond milk carton. And I thought, you know, it's going to go to the landfill. And then in the landfill, it will decompose. And then it will return back to where it's in a free-form energy state. And only during the time it was in material service did its energy ever get locked down. And so in a way, to return it to the earth is to liberate it. Now, these are just examples of how we could view the material versus the energetic in a slightly different way. When it comes to healing, let's look at that, because that's very relevant to what we're so many of us are hoping for in a blessing call. Sometimes we go to the doctor with a lot of symptoms, and we're basically asking the doctor to heal our symptoms. And the doctor will say, well, wait just a minute. Let's look a little deeper, because we have to look at what's causing those symptoms. In other words, that particular doctor is still a physician who honors the physical, not just a doctor who prescribes pharmaceuticals to remedy symptoms. And much too much of our medicine has gone in the direction of the material. But many, many devoted and wonderful doctors have not lost the physical in the word physician. And let us hope they all always keep it there. Because a good physician, a good doctor, will say, let's look a little deeper. And they'll ask you about your life. And most of the questions they ask you will be energy related. How are you sleeping? How are you getting along during the day? What's your energy level? All of these questions that point to the true physical, like the milk inside the carton. They don't want to focus on the carton because they know the carton basically can't be fixed. It's what's in the carton that can be fixed. And then if you rebuild what's in the carton, if you fix, in other words, if you put a whole new supply of life inside the carton, then the carton will have a whole new purpose and it will be revitalized. Kind of like my brushes. I could throw them away once their prescribed original function is complete, or I could just find a new physical reason for their existence. And then they take on new life, and they're part of whole new paintings, and they're part of my life, and they and I are enjoying a rebirth of their existence. So a good doctor will address the physical side of you, not the material side. He's going to take your weight and maybe get your height, and, you know, he'll do an examination of the carton, shall we speak, carrying that metaphor a little bit further. But what he's really interested in is what's inside the carton, what's making it work, what's giving it its life force, its life power, or what's challenging that carton, what's keeping it from doing its life work. A good physician will focus on that. And this is what the Holy Spirit does. We bring the Holy Spirit in as, I would say, a bridge between the physical and the divine. The divine being of God the Creator. The physical being, that which is the essence of God, that is your body and your life, which was created by the hand of God, and is still in the image of God, if you would only focus upon the physical part of it and not the material part of it. Sometimes we go out to work on you know, the body beautiful? Are we worried about losing weight or gaining weight or shaping up our muscles or plumping them up or being able to run a mile? And actually, some very advanced athletes have died in the act of building their body. And more than likely, it's because they were paying much too much attention to the carton and not enough to the substance inside it that was providing the energy for the life purpose and the flow of life into life. You see, it's the physical that can be healed. It's the physical that can be multiplied like the fishes. It's the physical that can be brought back to life, because actually the physical doesn't die. And I think this was the real point of the resurrection, is to show, is to demonstrate that on the cross, the material body could be killed and actually die, and yet the physical body not only didn't die, but continues to live. And I would have to say that this is, if there was anything above all else I would want to share with you, it would be this, because what changed my life and made me willing to give up a very lucrative career and dedicate my life to teaching the work of Yeshua, of eventually dedicating it to the continuation of a very ancient church, the original church of the apostles, and to just living my life on this level, was actually seeing him in an eternal physical form. Now, I do not believe that was material. Material being born of DNA, having grown up from being a little boy, gone to school, had a career, rebelled from a career, got on purpose with life, and then he showed up in my studio. Now, that's material, my friends. He is beyond the material. He is now in the living, eternal, physical. And I am not the only one that he's appeared to. I was watching a very, very moving piece on the news the other day. It was about two women who lived in an anti-Christian country. And just for being Christian, they had been arrested and been given a death sentence. So yes, there are martyrs today. I've talked with many people who, after Love Without End and The Lamb and the Lion began to penetrate China, I began to hear stories of great, great sacrifice and martyrdom that existed in the faithful in behind the Iron Curtain in China, also in Russia. We have living martyrs today, living saints. And as these women were being interviewed, the interviewer said, "What gave you the courage to do this?" Oh, and by the way, they're free now because of interventions by so many government diplomats and the Pope and religious leaders around the world. There was so much pressure put on this anti-Christian government that they were released. And the interviewer said, "You were given a chance to recant your Christian faith, and you didn't. You could have saved your life at any moment by recanting." And they said, "But we saw him. We saw him. He's visited us. And when you've seen that, you've seen everything that you are and can be. You've seen the eternity of God's creation and how he is the physical presence of God, and how anything bearing the physical presence of God is eternal. How could we recant that?" And so I had that same opportunity to witness his physical presence. And in one of my conversations with Yeshua, I said, "Yeshua, I know that of all the people who have ever lived on this earth, you are the least driven by ego, the least likely to need a portrait. Why? Why are you asking me to paint your portrait? Wouldn't you rather just sit down with me and share your wisdom and then give it to me to go share with others? And he said, well, that will come later. And in fact, it did. But at the time, he said, I just want people to know me. He said, all the doctrines of the world will not save this world. The Christians are following doctrines. They're not following me. I came here to demonstrate the physical presence of God on earth, and that's all they ever have to know. The physical presence of God on earth. And my friends, it's in you, it's in everybody, it's in every plant, it's in every tree, it's in every form. But you've got to look beyond the milk carton. You've got to see what flows from the milk carton or exists inside the milk carton. You've got to see the divine physical, which transcends and outlives the material. This is what has to be seen. This is why I do what I do. This is what motivated those women to resist all temptations to recant their faith on the peril of losing their life. This is what gave them the strength to endure while so many people in the world demanded their release. And this understanding will give you the faith to transform your life at a level from a place where it can be transformed. So many times, you know, let's put it this way. You can't redecorate your house without money, but you can transform your home by renovating your heart, putting more love into your home. Anybody can transform their home, but you can't renovate your house without a building permit, perhaps a contractor, a lot of money, and that sort of thing. You could apply the same thing to developing a business. You could apply the same thing to tangible wealth. You all are wealthy, but you can't find it because you're holding on to some material definition of wealth that isn't working for you. And this reminds me of the monkey with a fist. The monkey reaches inside a hollow tree, through a hole just big enough to condense his little hand in, and he notices something shiny inside that he thinks is going to be wonderful, and he takes a fist around it, and now he can't get his arm outside that hole. And he's stuck, and for lack of it, he starves and he dies. Well, this is my example about how we hold on to small definitions of the material, thinking, if I just hold on long enough, I know this is going to work. If I just keep my fist closed, I'll get this shiny little thing out. Probably was nothing other than a flip top from a Coke can that he had his little fist on, and he died for that. Whereas if he had released his fist, extracted his little arm, he would have had energy to climb the tree and at the very least eat a banana. This will be a continuing lesson because I think I finally created the basis for understanding what I'm talking about. So when we say within us is the divine physical, is the presence of God's creation where we truly can say we're created in the image of God. We're not talking about material flaws, material limitations, material injury, material inadequacy. When we are not told, when Yeshua told the the lame man to walk. We are not told what he looked like after that. He might still have been deformed, but been able to walk, because he could command the energy through faith propelling him around. We don't know that he was turned into an Arnold Schwarzenegger. We weren't told that the material form of that lame man was made perfect. We just know he could walk. We don't know that the blind man who could see had every aspect of his eyes put back perfectly and mended. We just know that the energy of vision was restored through his eyes. So, don't limit your miracle to what can be transformed first by permission of the material. Don't work on building your muscles so much you deplete your energy and die running around the track. Your energy is divine. The physical within you is from God and of God. And then, through the course of human eons and generation upon generation, that physical has become DNA, and DNA has become various racial groups and ethnic groups and cultural groups, and we look different a little bit generation to generation, and we fight over all these differences, which is so insane, absolutely insane. And all of these external material differences would fall away if we could only focus upon the physical that endows us all and creates the rainbow bridge to God and to the kingdom of heaven. And I want to thank all the saints and Yeshua and Mother Mary who helped to guide my words today to make this ever so much more clear than I know I left it last week. I think there's a very good reason it was not recorded, but it is recorded today. So you may want to play this back again. And now it is time that we moved on into our blessing. And I see that Francis is on the phone, but we are already at 41 minutes and we have people waiting for the blessing. So please come on the call next week and ask your question then. I would really love to hear from you. And now we are muted. So let us begin our blessing by first finding our comfortable place. Be seated with your feet on the ground and your head pointed toward heaven. Your attention in your heart. Feel the physical energy of the earth and the physical energy of the sun and the cosmos uniting in your heart. And become open to the divine energy of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Yeshua helping you to identify and be in your perfect physical, ignoring all of the material defects so that we don't focus on or treat or even hold in any form of depletion, any materiality, any material aspect of our being, but we hold the divine physical. For when we know that that is perfect, then all else is made perfect. And I would ask that you start your prayer, and I will say my invocation to Yeshua, and I ask that the blessing givers join me. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being the example among us of what we all can be and how we already have been created. We only need to respond in faith, to know who we are, what we are, and command from the presence of God within that we respond to His holy presence. We thank you for conducting the presence of the Holy Spirit through us. and allowing us to become whole in all of our ways, in all of our parts, body, heart, soul, and being, that we, all parts of us, may be united in the greater and most wondrous kaleidoscope of our personal existence and our place in the universe. Thank you for giving this energy that we may be healed and that we may gain the happiness we so deeply seek, the realizations we have looked for so long, and the perfection of which we are so capable and rightly created. Amen. We shall begin. Your blessing is complete. You are blessed and very loved. Now go and rest and just assimilate this wonderful love and this wonderful physical inpouring of the Holy Spirit and the Divine Creator. I wish you a wonderful week and much love from me. Bye-bye.